We are so thankful that we have the opportunity right now to just worship you in song, and we're getting ready to worship you now through the study of your word. And we pray, God, that as we do, we would not harden our heart, that we would open it, that God, you would just take over and remove any distractions this morning that would keep us from hearing you. God, I pray that if there's any here in this place this morning, that hearts may be filled with worry or fear or just frustration. Maybe they're just going through storms of life. That God, you would just help them right now to set those things aside to hear your word. And so we've come this morning asking God that you would be our teacher. So help me get out of your way, and that your truth, Lord, would go forth from this pulpit. Father, we love you. We thank you again for your amazing grace and your mercy, for loving us the way that we do, the way that you do. And just bless this service now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to see all of you. Why don't you go and have a seat? We are going to continue in our study in the book of Colossians. And so if you open up your Bibles, we're going to look at chapter 3. And if you do not have one, please raise your hand. We would love to make sure you can follow along with us in the scriptures. He'll get you one. All right. While you're turning there, I just want to encourage you, whenever we have service, and I know it could be a challenge to get here, but if you do come early, you'll notice that we have somebody playing a piano, and then on our slideshow, we have the different opportunities for you to get involved in ministry, and we also included another slide in the areas of ministry that we could use some help in. I want you to know, even though you come into this place and you think, wow, everything seems to be in order, everything's running well, you don't need my help, don't think that, okay? We need all the help we can get. And so on that slide, it'll just share with you the different areas of ministry that you can get plugged into. And again, as you serve, it's a blessing to the body. It's an opportunity for us to build up our spiritual gifts, encourage one another in our relationship with the Lord. And again, it's just something that we have a desire to do. And so we want to open up that opportunity for you to get plugged in. So come early, take a look at it. If you say, well, praise the Lord, I won't see it because I always come in late, change that, okay? Come on a time. And so the other thing I want to just mention to you really quick, we'll love your prayers in a couple of weeks, I believe, February 17th through the 20th, is our Just Go Missions Conference for youth and for young adults. We will be doing it in Mexico once again. And this is an amazing opportunity because we want our younger generation to see the opportunities that they have to serve the Lord, whether it's in their local community, in their local church, or if God is desiring them to go out onto the mission field. We want to get them connected and equipped, and more importantly, show them by example of what it looks like. And so it's a great opportunity for us, and I want to ask that you would pray. I'm going to be flying out there on probably Thursday night, but be back by Saturday in order for us to continue in our study in Colossians. But it's a perfect time for us to be lifting up our next generation. You know, for us older saints, we need to pass the baton, okay? And so it'd be nice to pass it to somebody, right? So that's why we invest in our younger generation. And so please be praying for that, and would love that. Here we are, Colossians chapter 3. Please stand out of reverence for the word of God. We're going to read a few verses from chapter 3 of Colossians to Revelation chapter 22. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
Here we go, beginning in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for this portion of Scripture, and we ask, God, that you would just bring it to life. May we walk out of here, Lord, being encouraged. And the greatest reward that we have yet to receive is that gift of eternity, that opportunity that we have to be with you forever. But until that day, Lord, may our hearts always be open to you. May we enjoy this amazing personal relationship, and may we have a desire to live for you today. So please come and teach us how to do that. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, before we jump into this next section, I want to, you know, remind us that we just completed our outline of this book. The first section of Paul's letter from chapter 1 and 2, Paul focused a whole lot on encouraging the saints. You know, many times we read in the scriptures how he prayed for them and how he was desiring for them to grow in their faith and in their understanding of what the gospel is, that gospel of grace and what Jesus did in order for us to have a right relationship with God. Apart from Jesus, nobody can have a right relationship with God. And so he expounded on those things, but again, his desire was that we would know in our hearts and be able to explain to anybody what it means to have a right relationship with God. But in this letter also, Paul went on to declare one of the strongest statements about the divine nature of Christ. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God. You know, he not only reflects God, but listen carefully, he is God. We also looked at chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, where it says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." So Paul declared that divine deity of Christ, that he is God in the flesh. He is supreme and he is over all. And he continued to expound on those core values, those core doctrinal points of our faith. But that greatest thing that he explained was that we are now complete in Christ. If we look at all the things that the Lord did, again, in order for us to have this right relationship with him, God set us up for victory, beloved. That's what Paul's heart was in chapters 1 and 2, that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that we are not only saved, but listen, this place is not our home. Okay, that was... it's a little weak. That's okay. It's okay. It's still early. Still early. But what a joy to know that we have a permanent place and it's not here on this earth. You know, I saw the banner. Some of you may have gotten excited. Parade of Homes. It's coming soon, right? No matter what house you look at, it will never compare to the beauty that we're going to have in heaven. Now, there you go. That's what I like. That's what I like. And so God's provided all of this. He's delivered us from sin, reconciled us to himself, and this gift, this promise of everlasting life is an open invitation. It's a universal invitation to be with him for all eternity. This is the amazing things that I pray that we walked away with chapters 1 and 2. Now, these last two chapters, Paul will focus on how we should live, okay? And again, it's one of these things that not only do we understand what God has done, now what are we going to do with that? How are we going to apply what we've learned? So reality is, it's application time. We need to start taking those things that God is teaching us in his word and living them out. Because here is the solid truth that all of us need to understand, and that is this: what we believe should be seen in how we behave. So whatever we're taking in is exactly what's going to come out. And all of this is, again, God's desire in order for us to remain connected to him. And so now that we have been set free from the devil, now that we've been, you know, given the power and the ability to say no to all of the temptations that we face, God's overall desire is this, beloved, for us to be holy. And let me explain this. Holy does not mean perfect. Holy means to be set apart for his personal use. So he set us free from one in order for us to live in another. He set us free from those old habits and those things that we may have gotten ourselves involved in order for us to now live a life that is in order or in line with his word. So Paul is now going to encourage us throughout the rest of this letter. And in verse 1, notice what he says. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And what I'd like to do right now is just read it to you in a different translation. I believe that the New Living Translation has a better rendering of this verse. And it says this, since you've been raised with Christ, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ is in the place of honor at God's right hand. So this is a different translation, but again, the meaning is the same. And before we can talk about this blessing of receiving this new life, this new nature, it's important for us to understand that we have to put away the old nature. One of the things that if you have been walking with the Lord, how many of you would agree with me that it's a struggle? You know, if anybody ever told you, oh, you know, you only have a relationship with the Lord because you need a crutch. Like, what? Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Walking with Jesus is not easy. There's a battle going on. Would you agree? Yep. Absolutely, there's a battle going on. And that battle, again, is going to take place until we see Jesus face to face. And so our old nature, the very one that had control, when we do accept Christ, when we do invite him into our heart and believe that he is not only just our Savior, but he's our Lord, our old nature is not happy. And it will do whatever it can to raise back up. And I pray that you would not just, you know, think that's my opinion. Do you also remember what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7? I mean, he was being real and raw before us. And as he penned those words, he said, there is an actual war going on inside of me. The things that I don't want to do are the things I do. And then the things that I don't want to do, that I practice. And he says, there's this real battle going on between my old nature and the new. And the only way that I'm going to be saved is because of Jesus. And so Jesus even told his disciples, listen carefully, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is what Jesus told people who had a desire to be his disciple. Denying yourself. Having the ability to understand and know that, again, you're not in control. Having the ability and the understanding to know that it's not all about you. You know, we're living in a time right now, and in our culture, it's constantly feeding this belief. You need to take care of number one. And that number one is who?
You.
Do whatever you can to get what you want. If you want to reach the top, do it. Go for it. You deserve it. You're entitled to it. That's what our world is telling us. Do whatever it takes to get happiness, regardless if it means you burn a bunch of bridges to get it. That's not good counsel. But that's a reality. What is Jesus saying? If you want to follow me, set aside all of those desires, those earthly desires, those old habits, and even your own desires. Because when we do completely surrender to Christ, you will be amazed at how much life looks different when he has your heart. And sure enough, this is where the Lord wants us to understand. We have now been able to set that old nature aside, put it to rest. You guys remember the illustration of baptism, right? that picture of somebody going down under the water, representing that old nature, being completely immersed and going under the water, is that beautiful reminder that our old nature no longer has control. It's dead. We can put it to rest, but then we raise up in what? The new nature. We are now born again. We are now spiritually alive. And this is, again, all because of what Jesus did. So since we have been raised with Christ, since we are now born again, listen carefully, seek those things that are above. This is what Paul is encouraging us to focus on, to look intently at, but fix your eyes on what matters most. Now, it's pretty amazing for us guys when we're at a signal light and how quickly our eyes can gaze upon the car next to us when it's a bright candy red apple Corvette, right? Maybe not. I don't know. This is me. Maybe that's just me. And the ladies are all like, I could care less about a Corvette. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's just say you're walking down the mall and you're in one of those stores and you see that fancy bright red sign, clearance sale. Huh? You gaze on that, right? Your eyes are locked in. Bingo, right? I don't even know why I said bingo. But anyways, you guys get my point. We have the ability to fix our eyes on things. And what Paul is saying here, fix your eyes on what matters most. What is it? Listen carefully. I'm going to drop it right now. Heaven is a reality. Come on. It is a reality. It's not just something that we think of. It is not a fairy tale. It is real. And Paul is saying here, listen, this is where Christ is at right now. He is alive. He's not dead. And he's sitting at the right hand, that place of honor next to God the Father. It is a real reality. And this is the blessing that we now have because we have accepted who Jesus is. This is our ultimate reward, to be with him for all eternity. And so as we look at what the Lord is doing for us and what Paul is encouraging us with, again, here it is. Focus on eternal things and do not let distractions, do not let the temporary things of this world pull you away from that reward. Doesn't matter how fancy that Corvette is. Doesn't matter how many clearance signs you see. Those things are temporary. And God is not going to be impressed if he looks in your closet and it's all organized. He is not going to be excited. But what excites his heart is when one sinner repents. And then the angels rejoice. And when the angels rejoice, because the truth is that one day we get to experience this beautiful reward of being with him for an eternity. So, beloved, it is real. And not only is it real, but again, along with putting that old nature to rest, we've been given a new one. So now that we've been set free, his encouragement is, don't let anything pull you away. Don't let anything rip you off from that sweet reward of being with Jesus forever. Don't let anything come between you and your Savior. And so not only is this, you know, an amazing reward, but how can we do this? Well, I believe the answer is found in verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So in other words, don't just think about heaven occasionally. Let it be constantly on your mind, on the forefront of your minds. Listen, we need to remind ourselves, again, that this place is not our home. And why do we need to remind ourselves? Because of what we see right now. If you ask anybody who does not know the Lord, hey, how do you feel everything's happening in the world right now? Who's winning, God or Satan? They would say, obviously, it's Satan. Look at what's going on. But the truth of the reality is that there is a season where all of this ugliness, he has allowed it to happen. But there's going to be a day when he says enough is enough. And so until that day, listen, we need to remind ourselves that this place is not just, you know, it's not our home. And the word set here really takes on the meaning to continually think of. You know, it's amazing to me how, you know, if we're really transparent here, how many of us have had the privilege of going on vacation? Okay, you can raise your hand. It's cool. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Next time you go, invite, okay? But listen, let's think about this. If you are planning a vacation, this is what I've discovered in all couples. There's a planner, and then there's the one who's free-spirited, right? My wife's idea of a vacation, let's get every bang for our buck. We're going to go here. We're going to do this. We're going to go see this. We're going to take this tour. I have everything laid out, spreadsheet and all, right? And then there's me. Can we just sleep? You know, we can order room service. You don't have to go anywhere. Can we just lay down and just enjoy the quietness? And eat as many burritos as we can? Yeah, that's my vacation. But listen, there's beauty in both, right? There can be beauty in both. But the reality is if we know we're going on vacation and we're excited about where we're going, like, hey, I'm getting ready to go to Hawaii. Like, that would bring me some excitement. And when that excitement happens, what do? We tell people about it. Oh, man, in 3 months, 36 hours and 14 minutes and 22 seconds, I'm going to be on a plane to Hawaii. We let people know where we're going. The next thing we do when we plan for a vacation is, you know, you start searching the internet. Oh, what can I go see? What tours are available? How much do they cost? Right? I mean, the most important thing you need to search for is where's the good food? I like that one. But you do all of this research because, again, you want to get the most of an experience that you can. And there's nothing wrong with it. Do it. Go for it. But then after you search and after you spend all of this time looking, now you make a list of what you want to get. Oh, I need to take some snorkel equipment. Oh, I need to buy this kind of bathing suit because, you know, it's a brand new vacation, brand new year. Can't use the one from last year. We need a new one. I tried to buy some new tennis shoes, but my wife said we're going to a beach, so it didn't work. But you get my point. We have to have new clothes when we go on vacation. Or we have to have a new pair of shoes if we go to Disneyland. Right? We plan, we prepare, we do all these things. And then, of course, before we spend the major money, we spend a little bit more money by now going shopping. And we buy all of these things, and we spend months of preparation, sometimes 3 to 4 for 1 week, or if we're blessed, 2 weeks of a vacation. And all of this, again, there's nothing wrong with it, but can I ask us a question today? When was the last time you put that much preparation and thought into heaven? When was the last time that we were so excited because we were searching the scriptures and we discovered that Jesus has a home prepared for us in heaven? When was the last time that we took that scripture reference and shared it with somebody? Because here's the beauty. You and I, we know this. You can't take anything with you when you leave this earth except for people. And here's the beauty. You don't have to pay their way. You don't. Jesus paid it all. The ticket's free. All we need to do is tell them about it. All we need to do is share the gospel and let the Lord take over. And the Lord is the one who decides. The Lord is the one who converts a heart, not us. He's just asking us to be faithful. So when was the last time that we actually shared our faith? Because we knew that the end reward is not just because we're going to get saved from sin, but our true reward is to be with him for an eternity. See, as much as an amazing trip, this is a reality. It's going to happen. We just don't know when. And we need to be like a woman who's getting ready to deliver. They got their bag packed. They got all the essentials. They got everything they need for this newborn life to come into this world. And it's just sitting there ready, standby. It's coming. I feel it. It's going to happen. We just don't know when. So when you set your mind on things above, and we make these, when we make it a priority, when we actually focus on it, listen carefully, this is going to be more than just a blessing of a week or two. We get to spend all eternity with the Lord. And so, how can we do this? Well, I believe Paul's first encouragement to us is focus on what matters most, and that is set your thoughts on eternal things and not on earthly treasures. And I want us to understand, I'm not here to be a killjoy. I'm not here to tell you that you can't have a house, you can't buy a car, you can't go on vacation or enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying here. But this is what I am saying. If all you're doing with your time here on this earth is striving after the bigger home, striving after the latest car, striving after, oh, I need to do this month, this month, that, and you're saving up and you're making, you're doing more overtime than is necessary, and you're spending all of this time to try and gain all of this stuff. And because of all the extra hours that you're working, guess what happens to Jesus? He gets pushed by the side, and your focus is on stuff and earthly treasures, which will only bring temporary joy, and you're forfeiting the eternal. Does that make sense? And so one of the things that is important for us to understand is I'm not here to be a killjoy, but don't become a slave to your stuff. What I believe Paul is saying here is that whatever we put into our mind, whatever we're focusing on, will determine the outcome in words and in deeds. So what is my encouragement for us to keep our hearts and our minds focused on what matters most? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Notice the wording, seek first what? The kingdom of God. I don't want us to think that we can treat God like a genie in a bottle. That's not what this is saying. I'm not here to preach a prosperity gospel, but the truth of this passage is this: you put God first, and then you begin to act right. And in the moment of you acting right and living out his word, other people get blessed. And when we seek God and when we pray to God, the reason why he answers our prayers is because we're praying for his will to be done, not ours. And that's where our heart needs to be. When we focus on the eternal, we're going to pray for God's will to be done, not ours. And so when we look at what I believe, again, Paul is saying, when we put God first, we now become an instrument of God's righteousness. We become that empty vessel that he will fill. He will come, fill our hearts, and we will give. Listen, as we are filled, that's what overflows, and we give other people an opportunity to know him. Listen, this is what our whole church is about. We follow Jesus for what purpose? To make him known. That is our vision and mission of this church. And so in order for us to accomplish this, I want us to turn to Romans chapter 6. You're going to go to the left. You're going to pass Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, and then you're going to keep going past the Corinthian books, and then you'll hit Romans. But Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 11 through 13, notice what it says here. Romans 6, verse 11. "Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead, put to rest that old nature, to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So again, as we give God our heart, just as we talked about in the vine a few weeks ago, so when we stay connected to Jesus and stay connected to God, listen, the fruit that we bear is going to be fruit that we see in the scriptures. It's going to be good fruit. It's not going to be contrary to what the Word of God is saying. And so not only does God want to use us to make him known, but it's also the Word of God that transforms us. Remember Psalm 1 as well. We looked at that passage a few weeks ago, and it talked about that the person who had joy was the person who meditated and pondered on the law of God. In other words, pondering on God's word, meditating upon it, not just reading it. I want to encourage you, when you spend your quiet time in the morning with the Lord, don't just read it and check it off, close it, and don't do anything with it. Pondering and meditating is all throughout your day, asking God, what did I just read? Asking God, teach me what truth I need to discover in this verse. Lord, be honest. Lord, I'm scratching my head. I have no idea what you meant. I've been there. It happens. But when you keep asking the Lord, show me, help me understand, in his perfect timing, it will come to life. So we need to keep remembering that the Word of God is what not only helps us know God, but it transforms us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. When we take in of the Word of God, it will renew our appetite. How many of you, if you were to think back before coming to Christ and what the priorities of your life were, you will discover now that you are a Christian, now that you have given the Lord your heart, you will see what matters most. And I guarantee you that that list will be 180 degree different, because that's what God's word will do. Transform and renew our thinking to what really matters most. And beloved, again, it's not the earthly treasures. It's having the ability to know God personally and to experience this amazing love relationship that will supersede any relationship. And to know that God has a desire to be with you for all eternity, that blows me away. That God would love us in who we are, the way that we are. Because listen, can we just be real? We all messed up, right? Some of us have some dark habits. Some of us have been pulled out of those ugly pits. Don't look around. Don't see who it is. But we all have been disqualified. But out of God's love, he welcomes us. And see, the reason why we focus on preaching the gospel and getting this point right is because if a heart can understand who God is, it is God who changes not only the heart, he can change the lifestyle, he can change the way we think, he can change the way that we behave, he can change the way from us being so self-centered and selfish to being other people-oriented. This is what God can do when we give him our heart. And so, again, first thing is set your mind on things above. The second thing that Paul points out in order for us to keep our hearts and mind fixed upon things above, listen carefully, verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So what is his second point? Don't allow your old nature to resurrect. Don't let it come creeping back up. Don't leave the door open. So how do we do this? Again, coming back to what matters most, living by the Spirit. Notice what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do those things that you wish. So again, that battle, old nature, new nature, which one wins? Whichever one you feed. That's the truth. If you allow your flesh to be fed, you can just go back into that chapter of chapter 5, and it will reveal to you what that fleshly desire is, and it will lead you down that path that you thought you would never be on. But if we are living according to the Spirit, if we're living according to the Word, listen, we are not going to have the desire to do anything in our flesh. We will literally keep it down. It will be crucified. It will be at a place where we can say no when those temptations come. Beloved, both natures are real, and I can't express it any other way, but if you want victory, feed the Spirit. If you want to experience what it means to walk with Jesus, you cannot allow the flesh to pop up. And some of the things that we do to allow the flesh to pop up, listen carefully. Some of us are not taking our walk seriously with the Lord. Hey, I'll go to church on Sunday. Hey, you know what? I'll go to church on Easter. And maybe even Christmas. Hey, I might pray every now and then. We don't have to pray over everything. You know, I know where my keys are at. You neglect. And when you neglect, you never stop taking in. All throughout your day, listen, here is the truth. You turn away from Jesus, the enemy is right there. But you turn to Jesus, and guess who's right there? Him. What's another way that we allow the flesh to come creeping up and wanting control again? When we compromise. Oh, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really say that. It was just a suggestion. No, I think the Great Commission is a command. No, it does say to flee from sexual immorality. Well, you know, Pastor, it's okay because, you know, we got to know if we're the right fit before we get married. No. That is nowhere in the Scriptures. If you find it, let me know. I'd love to sit down and talk with you because you're misinterpreting it. Oh, well, you know, Pastor, you know, don't judge. Hey, it's your choice. Live for God or not. It's your call. But I'm going to direct you to what God's Word says. And so here we see, again, even though those two natures are real, when we do live out the Word, again, it's going to be something that God transforms our lives. And if we believe with everything within us, if we surrender our heart, we will be set free. And we can live that life in the Spirit. And that is reflecting love, peace, joy, self-control, and all of the other fruit that comes with it. And so, as we now, listen, have this ability to live for Jesus, what else does Paul encourage us with? That we're now hidden in Him. And this word hidden means to conceal. It's to hide for the purpose of keeping safe. So I want you to understand this. As we follow the Lord, He is now our protector. You know, I think many of us in here remember this cartoon. You guys remember the Tom and Jerry cartoons? Oh, yeah. Remember those? There was this one episode where Spike, that big pet bull, was Jerry's friend. And I remember whenever that one cartoon came on, Jerry went up and messed with Tom the cat. And he did it because he knew who was behind him. And the moment that Jerry hit Tom or whatever, and Tom was ready to strike back, the pet bull was just looking at him. He's like, never mind, it ain't worth it. And then one time he hit him, and Spike wasn't there. And you guys know what happened next, right? But listen, when you think of this picture of being hidden in Christ, it's not that He's trying to keep you a secret, but He's that shield of protection. Because no matter who comes at you, you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, though we may experience some difficulty, nobody will be able to snatch us away. We may be physically hurt, We haven't experienced that kind of persecution here. But if you ask a believer in the Middle East, I guarantee you, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I've been flogged before. I've had acid pour on me. But even though it may affect our physical body, nobody can ever snatch us away from our Savior. And so this is where, again, not only are we protected that God is that shield, and even though we will experience difficulties, God will be right there by your side to guide you through that darkness. That's his promise, beloved. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So the third encouragement we see here, in order to us to keep our hearts and our minds set on things above, Paul reminds us a second time of our future reward. Why does he do that? Here's the honest truth, because we're forgetful people. We need to be reminded, don't we? Yes. And so as we look at verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So Jesus' promise to us is that one day we will see him. He will return. And when that happens, we will be with him for all eternity. And so when you look at the scriptures, there are many of you who love eschatology. That's end times. And there's a lot of different things that we discover within the Bible of what is yet to happen. And so before Jesus comes, there's a couple of things that will need to take place. The first one is the rapture of the church. Jesus will be in the air. He will not come fully onto this earth. And there will be a loud sound as an archangel. And when this sound happens, for those of us who love the Lord, we'll be caught up with him in the air. This is what we consider the rapture of the church. The next period from that point on is the tribulation period. It will last for 7 years, and it's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. This will be 7 years where the Antichrist will be on this earth. And listen, the first 3.5 years, he'll bring peace, but the next 3.5 years, he will bring intense pain and persecution upon those who do not receive him, because he's going to declare himself God. And in that time, this is when the mark of the beast will come into effect. It will not happen until the tribulation period. When that time happens, that mark will be a sign of them declaring the Antichrist as God. You'll be able to buy food and sell. But for those who don't take that mark, there will be intense pain. After that 7 years is when Jesus will come, his second coming. And in that time, all the saints who were raptured with him will come. And I'm not a cowboy, but I heard, if I'm correct, we'll all be riding horses. So I'm going to have to buy a cowboy hat and some boots. Not a chance. Jesus' second coming will take place. The enemy will be removed from this earth along with all of the evil, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. And after that follows the great white throne judgment, and then it is then, after all is said and done, that Jesus, that God will restore everything back to its original place. We don't have time to go through all of it, but this is our reward. This is what Paul is wanting us to not just think of occasionally, but when we have an ability to know where our final destination is, that's where we need to fix our attention. That's where we need to focus on. And whatever happens here on this earth, don't let it distract you. Don't let it pull you away, because if it pulls you away, listen carefully, you're going to miss out on a whole lot of things that the Lord is desiring to show you. But praise God that he gave us his Spirit. Again, there's no more excuses, beloved, why we can't live a victorious Christian life. He's given us everything we need. We just need to stay the course. And as I was studying this, listen carefully, I just want to share with you a personal experience that I hope will bring this to life. And if you've heard me share this story before, I butchered it during first service, and they were very gracious. But if you've heard me share this story before, it fits so adequately here that I have to share it again. So just act like you've never heard it before and say amen, okay? But my daughter, Sabrina, my oldest daughter, married into a family of runners. They do all of these crazy races, the Ragnar race. Sabrina's mother-in-law, she competes in the Ironman competition here in St. George a few times. I mean, I don't know why, they just love to run. And so before Sabrina got married, what we would do together, daddy and daughter, was lead worship. And so when she got married and, you know, she lives in California, you know, that kind of came to an end, and we started talking about what we could do together. And my daughter says, "Hey, Daddy, why don't we run?" Yeah. So excited. Thank you for suggesting that, Sabrina. But I committed to it. And so the very first race that we did together was a 10K, which is 6 point something miles, right? And so my daughter, she's awesome. She laid out a training for me, like run this many miles one day, a couple days run this many, and alternate, and drink plenty of water, buy the right running shoes, and she set me up. I mean, this is what you need to do, Daddy. And so I know if I'm going to finish this race and live, I need to run now, right? I need to run, like run, not just dream of it, but run. And so I remember, and I'm telling you, I was like, okay, psyching myself up, put the shoes on. I would have even put on the little, you know, black stuff if I had some. But I had my headset on, I had it strapped to my arm, had the worship playlist going, and I'm running. And I have this track that I, you know, this path that I wanted to keep. And sure enough, man, I was running, and I got to like 4 or 5 signal lights, and I'm still running, and I'm going through this neighborhood, and all of a sudden, listen, there were some really cruel people on a Saturday morning cooking bacon. And as I was running, it was distracting me. I wanted to so bad pull over. I smelt it. I know you're cooking it. Help a brother out. But I kept going, and I finished. I practiced. I went home, and I did sneak a little bacon when I got home, but that's beside the point. I finished what I needed to do, and I trained, and then race day came. And there were so many people in this race that when we first started, Sabrina and I couldn't run together side by side. And so we were just looking for empty spaces to get ahead of everybody. And sure enough, as I started running, you know, she was just like, "Just don't worry about me, Dad. I'll catch up to you. Don't worry. You just go." And so I'm running, and the next thing I know, I have my headset on, and we're just looking at all the lights, and the bands are performing. People are running and stopping and you know, enjoying all the scene there on Las Vegas Boulevard. And all of a sudden, the little announcement came on my headphones: "You have completed 1 mile." All right. Didn't feel any hurt. Nothing was saying stop, keep going. Kept running. Still a little bit of a crowd. Sabrina was still behind me. And then another announcement: "You have completed 2 miles. I'm thinking, whoa, I feel good. So I turn around, and Sabrina's just like, "Dad, just keep going. Just don't worry about me. I'll catch up. You're so cute. Just go ahead. Just go ahead." Get to mile 3, and I'm feeling good. Like, I can't believe I've already done 3 miles, and I'm not huffing and puffing. I'm not, you know, thirsty for water, whatever. And so I look back, and my daughter was maybe about 10 feet behind me. And I made the mistake of slowing down so that I could run with her. And the whole time, she's just like, "Don't slow down, just keep going. I'll catch up to you." But I'm all like, "No, come on, you know, Dad, come on." And so we start running, and then by mile 4, that's when my body started talking to me. "What do you think you're doing?" As I started huffing and puffing, my daughter, "Come on, Dad. You got this. Just keep going. Just follow my pace." So we get done with mile four, mile five comes up, and I'm like, Bree, I need a chair. She's like, no, you don't. Just keep going. Come on, keep going. She goes, take a little bit of a sip of your water. Eat one of these little Gatorade gummies. You're going to be fine. You're going to kill me, Bree. Just keep going. Mile six comes, and they did this cruel thing with the course. It was a straightaway, but then there was a turn. And as soon as we made that turn at the six-mile mark, I'm all like, where's the finish line? I signed up for 6 miles. I completed 6 miles. And then I saw people walking away. Keep going. It's just around the corner. And I turned that corner. There was no finish line. And I was getting mad. And I'm huffing and puffing. And sure enough, I went around another corner. And then there was the finish line. And so I'm about ready to die. Sabrina grabs my hand and says, come on, Dad. We got this. We crossed the finish line. There were a bunch of people there, but Marisa and my other kids were there cheering us on. And as soon as I crossed the finish line, I'm all like, medic, I need to go chew some ice. I need a break. I just need a time to rest, and then I'll come and celebrate with you. I stood in that tent like about 15 minutes. But I got my medal, said I did it. I didn't stop. But the only reason why I didn't stop is not because I didn't have distractions. It's not because my body was telling me to stop. It's because I had somebody along my side. And beloved, this is what Paul is saying. When you keep and you set your mind on things above, God is going to be by your side so you don't get pulled away by the bacon. Right? So that you don't get pulled away by what your body or what your eyes are telling you, quit. God is much greater than that. God is much greater than any of your problems. And I understand that many of you have some serious stuff going on in your life, and I'm not belittling it. I'm just telling you, my God is great. And he's going to be there. And he's going to be along your side telling you, just keep going. Just keep your eyes forward. Don't look back. Don't slow down. Just keep moving forward. And when you do that, there's going to be a different cross line that we're going to experience, and that is to be with him for all eternity. Now that is where our heart and our mind don't just think of heaven occasionally. Let it be on the forefront of your mind. Let there be those times of being excited about the fact that this place is not our home and that we get to experience life where there's not going to be any more pain, where there's not going to be any more illness, there's not going to be any more cancer or any viruses. Praise the Lord, there's not going to be any Democrats and Republicans. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that we won't ever have to say goodbye to loved ones. Because if we do put to rest our old nature and we focus on what we can do, and that is to bring people with us into heaven, God is the one who will convert the heart, not us, but we just need to do our part. And if we're willing to do that, God can do some amazing things. So, beloved, set your mind on things above. Don't focus on the earthly treasures. Don't give everything you have to gain what's here. Place your thoughts on those eternal things. And when we do that, our light will shine. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much for this morning and for your word. And I just pray that you would help us today to see, Lord, what matters most, and that is to live for you and not live for the things of this world. Lord, you have given us everything that we need to walk with you today. And I pray that we would walk in that victory, that we would, Lord, not just occasionally think of heaven, but that we would, again, surrender our hearts into your hands and watch what you will do. And so, Lord, thank you again for speaking to us. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to take this moment to invite anyone here this morning, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to invite you to do that today, that you too could walk away knowing that that what we just talked about, you can experience, that you can become born again, you can become spiritually alive when we confess our sins and believe that Jesus was the one who paid for all of our sins on the cross. That through his death and resurrection, not only are our sins forgiven, but we are now at peace with God. When we put our faith and trust in that finished work of the cross, and we stay connected to Jesus, there is nothing that will remove us. This is a gift that God gives to everyone. Again, this is a universal invitation. Doesn't matter what nationality you are, where you come from, what you've done. God says, I love you, and I want you to be with me for all eternity. And so if this is you, all you need to do is confess your sins before the Lord, and that you would just give him your heart, and that he would come and he would teach you how to live for him. And if this is you this morning, right where you're at, I want to invite you, slip up your hand so that we can see who it is that would like to make this confession of faith today. And I don't want you to worry about who will see you. This is a decision, again, between you and the Lord, and that reward is far greater than who sees whose hand goes up. And so if there's anybody here this morning that would want to make that confession of faith, just slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to lead you in that prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for this morning, and I want to thank you for your word, and I pray that you would continue to teach us how to live for you, that we would take our walk seriously, and that we would surrender all for the sake of living your will. You have great plans for us, and I pray that we would all discover that. And so, Lord, thank you again for your amazing grace, your love, and your mercy. Now will you bless your people today, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Listen, this morning we are going to take communion, and I want to encourage you again, if maybe you're uncomfortable with taking from the plate that will be passed, we have them toward the back, and you can work your way and grab one. I also want to encourage you that even though we pass a plate, we do not force anybody to take communion. This is your decision between you and the Lord. All I ask is this, is that if you do take communion this morning, remember we want to honor the Lord by taking communion correctly, and that is to confess our sins and have a clean heart before we remember the sacrifices of the Lord. And so our ushers are going to come, they're going to pass out the communion elements, hang on to them, and we will take communion together.